that on the connection card as well. Today, as we do every Sunday, we have an opportunity to give beyond ourselves, to participate in a mission that impacts our community and our world. And today's mission box is for Helping Hands, a vital ministry that cares for health and medical needs for homeless persons in our community. You can find some information about that in the bulletin on the front inside flap. And if you'd like to make a gift to help support Helping Hands today, as you leave, you can do that at any of the mission boxes that you'll find at the exit doors. We'll be praying over our Thanksgiving baskets a little bit later in the service that will begin to go out to families today and then again tomorrow. And then also, the other thing I want to make sure I share with you today is that directories have arrived. Our new church directories are here, and so if you had your photo taken to participate in that directory, I invite you after worship today to make a walk over to the registration desk in the education building. They will have the directories there ready for you to pick up. If you did not participate by having your picture taken, there are a limited number of directories that are available for purchase. But if you had your photo taken, there is one ready for you to go. Please stop by and pick your copy up. I can't wait to dive into it and see everybody's pictures. So, anyway, glad you are here today. Every time we come into this space, we come knowing that there is a loving God who welcomes us as we gather. And so it is my privilege to say to you this morning, welcome home. It's great to be home. Would you stand and greet one another as we prepare to worship?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship by singing our opening hymn. Together on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we offer our hearts in gratitude and praise and thanksgiving.
May our lives reflect your love as we go out of this place and worship you with all of our lives and all of our hearts, offering love and praise and thanksgiving. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Each week we share an affirmation, and this morning we share in the Apostles' Creed, one of the most historic creeds of our Christian faith. I invite you to join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we offer up prayers this morning, we will also offer up prayers for our Thanksgiving baskets or bags, as it may be. If you look over here to your left, you will see all of these bags, each one filled with everything that you need for Thanksgiving. And then there are turkeys in the freezer ready to be given out with those. Those go to families all over our community who in need, and we'll enjoy a wonderful Thanksgiving on behalf of Trinity and others who have offered up gifts. And so I invite you to remember those families this morning as we pray. I also invite you to remember the family of Carolyn Hopkins, particularly her husband, John. Carolyn died this past week. Some of you who knew her may have seen an article in the paper a couple of days ago. And we pray for John and for the whole family as they move through this difficult time. And we'll be doing a service, I think, in a couple of weeks here at Trinity. So let's turn our hearts and minds to God. And I invite you to spend a few moments in silent prayer as we begin, remembering John Hopkins and the family, and any other thoughts and concerns that are on your hearts this morning, as well as giving thanks for the families who receive these baskets and praying for them. Let's pray together. This week, the week we celebrate Thanksgiving, we are more mindful than usual of your blessing, and we lift our hearts in gratitude and thanksgiving. Help us to remember the gifts we seldom notice, the bounty we take for granted, the rich possibilities you provide, for bread without scarcity, for water that is pure, for homes to live in and friends to enjoy, we give you humble thanks. For beauty and bounty, for hope and healing. We lift our voices in joyful praise. We also lift up to you this morning those who are in need of your grace and guidance, your peace and comfort. For those who are mourning the death of someone dear, for those who need strength in the face of illness or disease, for those in search of employment and a means to care for their households, for those who are struggling with broken relationships or heartache, for all who find themselves in deep darkness and cannot seem to see the light. Oh God, we pray that they will seek and find comfort and strength in you. And this morning we especially pray your blessing on these Thanksgiving food baskets. We pray for each person, each couple, each family that will receive these baskets. May this food fill the bellies of children and bring peace of mind to adults. May they be a tangible sign of your providence and love. And as we offer them to each family who comes to receive them, may they see in us the joy and love and light of Christ. We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thankful people come, praise the Lord of harvest, all is safely gathered in, and all winter storms begin. God,
God, we always have the opportunity to give back to God through our financial gifts, our tithes, and offerings. Many of you do that through the offering plate. Others of you do that online. I always want to let you know that there's also a QR code in your bulletin, as well as you can give through the Trinity app. So know that all of those opportunities are available to you at any time. Also, if you have not yet had the opportunity to turn in your pledge card for 2019 or make a special offering for the roof, the new roof that we'll be putting on the whole facility, we invite you to prayerfully consider doing that and then do that at your convenience. You can always put them in the offering plate, or you can mail them in or walk them over to the office as well. And when the offering plates come by, that's a great time for you to put your connection cards either in the offering plate or give them to the usher. We are grateful for your support of our ministry here at Trinity as we all seek together to work for the kingdom of God in our community and the farthest corners of our world. Let me invite you to pray with me. How can we thank you enough for all you have given us, Lord? We have so much, more than enough to supply all our needs. As we offer our tithes and offerings today, make us mindful of those whose needs we are called to supply. In deepest gratitude, we offer our gifts and ourselves back to you in service and love. Amen.
Thank you.
earlier this year, as our worship design team was planning out for the rest of the year our worship schedule, we noticed that in this month of November, we had planned to celebrate All Saints Day on the first week and then have Gator Wesley with us last week. And then we noticed that there was this two-week period before we would begin celebrating Advent. And so in talking about what focus we might choose for those 2 weeks, we thought, what if we take 2 weeks to talk about the sacraments and to do a couple of teaching sermons on those important elements of our life together as church. In the United Methodist Church, as in most Protestant traditions, there is the understanding that there are two sacraments that we share in our Christian faith. Sacrament of Holy Baptism and the Sacrament of Holy Communion. And the reasoning for there being two is based in this idea that those are the two that we understand Jesus to have instituted in his own life. As we look at the pages of Scripture, particularly in the Gospels, we actually see that these two events bracket his ministry. Perhaps remember that before he starts his ministry, after coming out of the wilderness, the first thing he does is to go to the River Jordan and to ask John to baptize him as a sign of inaugurating that ministry. And then near the end of his life, in fact, right before he goes out into the garden to pray and then to be imprisoned and to surrender himself to death on the cross, he institutes the Last Supper, a meal that he shares with his disciples. And so for this week and next week, we're going to look at those two sacraments. And we're going to start today with communion, the table, as the choir sang about. And it's fitting that we do that today on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. Part of the celebration of communion involves the great Thanksgiving. And actually, one of the terms that can be used in addition to communion or the Lord's Supper, is Eucharist. Eucharist comes from the word that we find in the Greek New Testament, Eucharistia, which means the giving of thanks. And so in preparing to do this today, we're going to turn our attention to a passage that comes from the first letter to the Corinthians, when Paul is talking about the way in which they should come to the table. And in that passage, Paul reminds them of what it was that he had received and had been handed down to him about what Jesus instituted on that final night of sharing a meal with his disciples. So let me invite you to follow along with me now as I read our passage for today. And for this particular occasion, I'm going to read it from the version of Scripture known as the Message. I think it helps us hear it perhaps in a fresh way this morning. Let me go over with you again exactly what is going on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. A little bit later this week, many of you, as we will do at our house, will gather around tables with family members and perhaps some friends that you share a Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving with. A lot of your tables will be larger than this particular table we have set up for today as a display. In fact, I was just talking with Bill Knight before worship today, and he was telling me how his family will gather at an old homestead and have 50 to 60 people there. We won't have quite that many at the Price House, but isn't it wonderful that at this time of year we come together and we gather around tables to connect with one another and to share a meal of thanks? I love looking over here and seeing all of these bags of groceries and the turkeys that are just outside and thinking about food being on tables that will help families in our community have a Thanksgiving celebration as well. And as well as eating food this week, lots of it in the case of most of us, and perhaps watching a ball game or some sporting event or a parade of one kind or another, one of the other things that typically happens around these tables is the telling of stories. Of course, there is the catching up that we do with one another, right? For those of us who have not seen each other in some months or perhaps since the last Thanksgiving or Christmas gathering, we are catching up. How is school going? How's that new job working out for you? What's going on with your friend who was ill? And we're remembering with each other and catching up on life and on what's happening in our own circumstances and situations. And then also there are those stories, though, that we tend to tell when we gather together as families that take us back further than just the past year, aren't there? Inevitably, at most tables or in most gatherings around the holidays, we have recollections of things that we have shared in common in the past. Remember that time when we all, I bet many of you have done that at a table or at a gathering of a family. Remember when we decided that we were going to. And those moments when we do this as we are gathered as the family, these stories do not just serve as recollections of the past only. Those stories also help us lean into the future because they make us grateful for all that has brought us to that point in our lives and in our shared history. And in fact, as we remember the stories, they remember us. They help us reconnect with each other so that we recognize that there is something important about us together, gathered as one family. The same is true for us as the body of Christ, as the church. The table of communion is a place where we remember a story. A very particular story that is grounded in memory and in our shared history, not just of those who are gathered at any one particular time as the church or as the local church, but gathered as the whole body of Christ. It is grounded in the memory of the Last Supper, that meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, which itself was grounded in an even deeper and longer memory. Perhaps you recall that when they gathered on that night, it was for the celebration of Passover, a remembrance of what God had done for the people of Israel in delivering them from slavery and bringing them out into freedom. And so wrapped up on that night, even before Jesus instituted new words for them to use and to understand, were these themes of deliverance, freedom and liberation and hope for the future. And then on that night, Jesus gave them words to remember and to understand what it was that he would do through his sacrificial giving of his life on the cross. And he said to the disciples, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And so the church has continued for centuries to do this, to come to this table in remembrance of Christ's offering for us. And when we come, it is not just as a memorial feast. just as when we gather as a family around these tables and share stories of the past, it is not just a remembrance of what has happened in the past, but we too, as we gather at the communion table, lean into the future. We remember that we are living in the in-between times, and in this present moment, whenever we gather, we are celebrating being remembered as the body of Christ. Whatever may have separated us between the last time we gathered and this time we gathered, we know that God liberates us from that. Whatever any one of us personally may have done to fail to live into God's desires and expectations for our lives, there is an opportunity for us to surrender that as we come to the table and to say yes again to the God who first loved us. Where there has been brokenness within the body, there is the opportunity to surrender that brokenness and to seek to live into a wholeness once again. And so as we come to the table, we come ready to be remembered, reunited, reconnected as the body of Christ. Now this is a snapshot of the what of communion. And there is so much more that we could say about that. I want to turn our attention today, though, for the few minutes that I'll take now to look at some other important questions about communion. Who? When? Why? And to help us at points along the way, I'll be drawing our attention to some quotes that come from a sermon that John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, preached on this subject of Holy Communion. It's entitled The Duty of Constant Communion. It was one of the earliest sermons that he composed while he was on the faculty at Oxford, and it was one that he reiterated near the end of his life and said at that point in time that everything he had said 50 years earlier, he believed still applied when he spoke then. So the first question is who? Who is welcome? Who is able, who qualifies to come to the table? Well, if you've spent any time around Trinity in recent history, one of the things that you hear every time we are about to come to the table is an invitation. And that invitation is offered to everyone. These words will sound familiar to you. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is an open table. It is open because it is Christ's table. It is not my table. It is not our table to choose who comes and who doesn't. It is Christ's table. And what we remember from Christ's life and ministry is that time and time again, he surprised the authorities, he surprised the religious experts and insiders with who he welcomed to tables where he would share meals with them. And so this has a number of implications for us every time we gather at the table. It means that the whole family is welcome at the table. Everyone of every background and of every age. We welcome from our youngest to our oldest, because we don't have to have achieved something. We don't have to have acquired a certain level of knowledge in order to be able to share in this meal. We are all welcome. Just as when we gather this week at our tables, we will not deny access to any of our family members based on their age or their goodness for the past year. We will welcome everybody to sit down together and share a meal. So, in the church, we gather and we open up the table to all who are present. Now, another important reason behind this idea of who and why it is an open table is because one of the things that we believe is possible at the table is that it might actually be a place of conversion. The table of communion might actually be such an experience for someone who has never professed Christ before, that they might come to a decision to make that profession of faith, to have an encounter, because we believe that here at the table, in a very real and tangible way, Christ is with us. Christ is present in the bread and in the cup, and Christ is present in the gathered body of believers. But someone might have an encounter that will cause them to say yes for the first time. And so who is welcome? We all are welcome to come. Wesley says this about communion in his sermon. He says, the benefits of doing it, of coming to the table, are so great to all that do it in obedience to Him. We should all come whenever we can. Which leads us to the second question of when. When should we come? Wesley again here says this in his message. It is the duty of every Christian to receive the Lord's Supper as often as you can. Anybody surprised by that statement? How many of you perhaps grew up, or perhaps at some point in your past, particularly if you have been in the Methodist tradition for a long time, were accustomed at some point along the way to celebrating communion once a month? I see a number of hands out there, right? That's fairly common. Do you know where that practice came from? It didn't come from Scripture. It didn't come from Wesley. It didn't come from our history as the church. It came from a very practical matter within the Methodist Church as we were growing as a movement here in the United States of America. Wesley himself practiced communion on almost a daily basis. It was so important to him in his understanding of communing with God. But here's what happened. As the movement was growing in our country, there were persons who were licensed to preach and to serve as pastors. And as the movement was growing, those pastors did not just serve one congregation. They served multiple congregations. And they were on a circuit. Perhaps you recognize the term circuit riders. And when they were traveling on that circuit, it was impossible for them to be with every congregation every Sunday. Are you following me here? So because part of our tradition is that in understanding the sacraments as a holy event, that one of our understandings is that there should always be an elder presiding over the sacraments, or somebody who has been authorized by the church to preside over those sacraments. And so the only time a congregation would celebrate communion was when the preacher, the circuit rider, was at that congregation. And for many congregations in the 1800s and even into the 1900s, that was about once a month. And so once a month, as a practical matter, those congregations would celebrate communion. But going back to our roots, we remember that Wesley urged us, and the church long before Wesley has urged us to receive communion as often as we can. Because again, there is something that is possible. Just as it is possible for someone to encounter conversion, it is possible for any of us, every time we come to the table, to have an encounter that somehow shapes or changes or transforms our lives. And even when we don't have a lightning bolt moment at the table, one of the things we believe about coming to the table is that we always receive nourishment here. It does not depend on how we feel or how excited we are, or how elaborate the celebration of the meal is. Just as in our gathering at tables, there are some meals when we remember more specifically, either because of the food or because of the conversation or because of the people that were around the table. we don't always come to every meal that we eat with great excitement. And yet we still come, don't we? Because we know that we need the nourishment that the food at the table will give us. And so we come recognizing that need that we have. So it is for us in our life of Christian faith. That even at those moments where we may not feel particularly excited about coming or feel moved to come, we still come because God is always present with us. And God is always providing nourishment for us when we respond to the invitation to the table. God is not only at work in the extraordinary moments, but more often is at work in the ordinary moments. So this is our weekly invitation to taste and see that in fact the Lord is It is our weekly opportunity to respond not only with our lips or our ears, but with our whole bodies as we rise up and we move forward and we come to the table with hands open and mouths ready to receive and to taste and to know that God offers God's own self to us at the table. When should we come? And then there is the last question of why. Why should we come? Well, the language that we use for this is to talk about communion as a means of grace. You know, God's grace that we sing about in so many of our hymns, that we talk about in reading Scripture, grace is available to us in so many ways. And one of the ways that we believe it is available to us in a very tangible way is at the table. Because it is so tactile. It is sensory. And it is a way in which God communicates God's grace to us. Wesley says this, "If we desire the pardon of our sins, if we wish for strength to believe, to love and obey God, then we should neglect no opportunity of receiving the Lord's Supper." It is that tangible moment in worship when we come face to face with God's love. And we are each a part of the body. And at the table, there is grace for each of us in our individual lives, and there is grace for all of us together as we are being remembered as the body of Christ. Wesley also encourages us, even though we may not always feel a particular way, he does urge us and encourage us to get ready. And there are moments every week in the worship experience when we, as pastors, typically offer words to help us get ready, but there is an opportunity for us each individually before we come to the table to get ready, to be desiring that pardon of sins, to be wishing for that strength to believe, to be longing to love and obey God. Wesley puts it this way, "Only see that you are duly prepared for it, and the oftener you come to the Lord's table, the greater the benefit you will find there." Notice that the special nature of communion is not due to some limited number of times that we do it, but rather the more we come, if we prepare ourselves, the greater the benefit we will find there. One of the things that we can do to help prepare ourselves is to acknowledge our need for the grace that we find here. To acknowledge our brokenness, to acknowledge that we have not been perfect, whether it was in the past week or the past month or the past day or the past hour. And to say, "Yes, God, table, I want to invite you to join me in one of our historic confessions and pardons of the church. You'll find the words on the screen, and let me invite you to join me now as we prepare to come and receive. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And so we do come to this table that sets us free. Each time we come, a table that offers new possibilities to us as we say yes to God's grace, as we say yes to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, offered on our behalf and on behalf of all the world. We do come remembering that night when Jesus gathered with the disciples, when he did take bread and break it, when he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." When he took the cup and he gave thanks and he shared it with them and said, "Take and drink all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So may we come today remembering and ready to be remembered. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this table and for our place at it, that you would offer us nourishment here for faithful living. And so we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might recognize his presence in these gifts and among us, and rise to go out and live as the remembered body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make us one with you, with each other, and in ministry to the world around us. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come now and prepare to offer the elements of the congregation. Just a moment, you'll be able to come to the pair of servers that is in front of your section today. Come with hands ready to receive bread, and after a server has offered that bread to you, you can take it and dip it into the cup and give him thanks. Who can come? Every one of us. When can we come? Now and always. And why come? Because Christ is here ready. After you've received this morning, you can return to your seats, or if you'd like, you can spend some time praying here at the kneeling rails. And I also want to extend another invitation for anybody who would like. You've seen all of these bags over here. If you would like to offer a tangible sign of blessing for the families who will be receiving these, I invite you to walk over to these tables and just place a hand on one of the bags, not knowing exactly who will receive that, but to offer a prayer for whoever receives it. And so come when everything is done.
Thoughts away from sin and sin. Let us hear.
today, remember that if you had your picture taken, make sure you stop by the registration desk, hospitality desk, and pick up a copy of the new church directory. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving with family and friends, and now go from this place with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you.